You're listening to another great podcast in the MyMac Podcasting Network.
Tech Fan Podcast number 520. I am Tim Robertson, joined by David Cohen. Hello, David.
Hello.
How are you this fine Sunday morning?
I'm okay. Do you know what the most technical part of this podcast is?
Making the phone call.
No, it's when you press the record button. I can hear the click through the microphone,
yeah.
And I know to start recording on my end.
Yeah.
That is the most technically sophisticated click, because it's being transmitted across the planet when you click it.
Well, that's because the board is right underneath the microphone, the way I've got it set up. I've always known that you're... He's waiting for that click sound. I know that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It amazes me, if you think about it, that... That click instantaneously is transported across the planet to my ears so I can sync with it.
Yes, instantaneously too. And the funny thing is, because of that, see, I record my end of the conversation, David records his end, and then we use Dropbox, which, ugh.
It's a bit like emptying the bins every week, yeah? Where it's a job you have to do, but you don't look forward to it, and afterwards you feel slightly dirty.
we'll talk about Dropbox in a second. But I will then take his audio, because we are both recording both ends of the conversation.
Yeah.
And there's been times, last week for instance, that it just didn't work. So last week I used my recording of David because it sounded better than what he had sent over. You didn't even send it over, did you? I don't remember now.
I did send it over.
Did you? Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, either way, I can just drop his audio that he records on his end right into GarageBand, and it almost always lines up close enough where I just have to do a minor tweak, and then we're good to go.
Yeah.
And it works pretty good.
Mm. And it's the best way of doing it, because most of the times it sounds better that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't way have better. Compression and whatever these voice systems do to send that data across the internet rapidly. It's not the same as a local recording.
Let's get back to Dropbox for a second.
Yeah.
I am very much thinking of, I'm going to be dropping completely Dropbox. And what's a good solution for syncing files other than Apple system? Because I think that's atrocious.
I use OneDrive. Which is pretty good.
That's Microsoft, yes.
It's Microsoft, yeah. I've found OneDrive to be pretty bulletproof. And you can send links and all that sort of thing. The only thing is you've both got to have a Microsoft account, but those are free, so that's not a problem there. That would also allow us to use Teams, which means that we would not rely on Wire, which is what we've been using to record the show for a long time, but has become a little bit flaky of late.
And they have shared folders, yes?
Yeah, they have shared folders, yeah.
Because I'm not just sharing files with you, I'm also sharing files with Guy for the MyMac podcast, and Lisa for Geekiest Show Ever.
Yeah.
So, and Gazmaz, too. So,
yeah.
And Melissa sometimes. But here's my issue. Back on the end of January, I was wondering why my Mac seemed like, man, I don't feel like I'm getting the speed.
Yeah.
Something's going on. So I pulled up the activity monitor. Now, I know Windows Server is always going to be high. Now, that's part of the Mac OS. That's fine. Dropbox, however, is using 796 megabytes of RAM.
Yeah.
For what?
Yeah. It's just sitting there, supposedly, syncing files that aren't even changing on your Mac.
For what? So I sent them... You know, over on X, Twitter, hey, what's going on with this? Why is... And they sent me a stupid, well, this could help. And none of that helped. Well, you should download the latest... Hey, who's back there making a bunch of noise? Knock it off. Hey, download the latest version. I am on the latest version.
Yeah.
And I've done everything that they suggested. And I was paying for, you know, the terabytes plan. I was putting a lot of stuff on Dropbox. So I pulled almost everything except the stuff that I'm sharing with you guys off of Dropbox and went back to the free one because I'm not going to keep giving them money. And right now it's using almost a are you kidding me? 3/4 of a terabyte of RAM just to sit there and do nothing.
3/4 of a gigabyte, not a terabyte.
Oh, yeah, a gigabyte, yeah. Sorry.
But even so, yeah, that is ridiculous because it's not doing anything.
It's doing nothing.
The problem is Dropbox is a product that used to be incredibly simple. I mean, the reason we all used it back in the day was because it was the only thing that was absolutely bulletproof and reliable, and it was like magic.
Look, I've got 32 gigs of RAM. It's not like I'm starving for RAM, but that's not the point.
Yeah, but it kind of is the point, because the problem is that you can't just say, oh, well, everyone's got loads of RAM, so we'll make our code really inefficient now.
That's exactly
right. It used to be the only one that was absolutely bulletproof and virtually instantaneous. It was magical. It really was. And so we all used it. But the problem is it turned into this great big corporate bloat. It's full of functions and it's got a whole office suite and everything in there. It's constantly trying to upsell you if you're on the free plan. Every time you go onto the website or anything, it doesn't
I'm constantly...
work.
What's the free plan? Is it two gigabytes?
Three gigs? You know what? I don't even know because I've not even looked. Because the only thing I use it for is to exchange files with you. Because I stopped using it a long time ago. I still got a whole load of data in there from ages ago, but nothing that I've used. Because I use OneDrive because I have a Microsoft Office 365 license. I have one through work, and then I have a personal one that I buy off eBay every year for about £35-40. And you know what? I think for what you get with Microsoft 365, I think that's a pretty good deal. And you get a terabyte of OneDrive storage with that for every account you have. So I've never filled it up. And, you know, a lot of people don't like Microsoft. You still have to run a client. I don't know how good the OneDrive client is. But the thing is, you know, because I'm sharing stuff with people in the business world, OneDrive kind of works for me. So I've moved away from Dropbox a long time ago. Now, I'm sure there are other solutions that are just focused on the file sync. But Dropbox is trying to turn into something that it never was, which is it's trying to turn into this great big bloated office suite. And all of that stuff, you know, it costs cycles, it costs memory, because the code is there doing stuff, even when you don't want it to do stuff. And they've kind of lost sight of the purpose of the product. And, you know, that's because famously, I mean, I think they want to try to get acquired by Apple. And
well, they lie all the time. I got an email yesterday from Dropbox. It's 2 gigs, by the way. Two gigs Dropbox basic account is out of storage. How this impacts you, it's this big thing, a big warning.
But you don't have a basic.
Yeah. No, I do have a basic because I dropped it down. I got rid of a bunch of stuff, right? Okay.
Yeah.
You know how much I've got in there? 1.02 gigabytes of storage.
Yeah.
I've used half of it, and they're sending me these fake emails that I'm about to run out of storage and view my options. And yeah.
That's
false advertising. That's absolutely lying to me.
Unfortunately,
I went to my Dropbox. I did a get info, and I can see the size. 1.02 gigabytes for 570 items.
This is unfortunately what happens with a lot of these companies. They get acquired or they go public, and all of a sudden they have motivations to basically grow all the time, and they've got to be growing. And that means they've got to try and squeeze their existing customers as much as possible, which is bombarding them with email, bombarding them with messages. What I find even more egregious than the email messages is when you have the app running somewhere, and that means that the app is an advertising platform, and it's constantly spamming you with notifications about this, that, and the other, which is awful. I have the Dropbox app on my iPad so that I can upload files to you from there, and I tend not even to use it. It just sets up a link to Dropbox in my Files app on my iPad so I can upload the show using that. And maybe that's why we've been having problems, because maybe that's not overly reliable.
I don't
run the client anywhere else. If I want to upload something to Dropbox from a computer, then I log onto the website and upload it that way.
So we took this off of Twitter, and they started contacting me directly.
Yeah.
And most of the stuff is what I already said, you know.
Yep.
They said, for security purposes, would you reply to this message directly from your tim@mymac.com email address, which is where my account was set up at. Mm-hmm. And I replied to them, no, that's an auto-forward-only address. I don't actually send and receive mail from that. It just forwards to publisher@mymac.com.
Yeah.
And they just keep saying they can't help me because I'm not replying from the other email address. So my last email to them was on January 30th. And this is just saying, please reply with the same email address that you used, or go to our portal. Otherwise, they're just not going to help us. So I said, never mind. I would just look for a Dropbox replacement. Listen to TechFan in 2 weeks to see what I picked.
Yeah. And also as well, I mean, I'm sure they would say, well, they're trying to do that from security purposes to try and make sure that somebody's not trying to affect the account who's
not
you.
No, I get it, but I showed them why I can't do that.
Yeah, and not only that, a from email address is so easily spoofable. That's not remotely secure at all.
Correct.
Yeah, it doesn't demonstrate anything. It doesn't demonstrate that you own the email address if you send something that looks like it came from that mail server. Yeah, that is not an effective security token. And the best way of doing that is to either have messaging inside their app so that it's on their platform and they know it's you because only you have access to the account. Or alternatively, to use one of the 100 other different ways people use to verify identity, which is, you know, send you a code or send you an SMS via a different message, send you a code via a different platform like messages or SMS or something like that. There are 100 different secure ways of verifying you are who you are without just relying on, oh, it's got to come from a particular email address, which is the most stupid, boneheaded way of proving who you are.
So Google right now, I've got a crap ton of Windows open on my Mac,
yep,
is using 389 megabytes. Dropbox, by the way, is up to 796.
Yeah.
For reasons. Just reasons. There's no reason for this to be using this much RAM.
No. And to be honest with you nowadays, I mean, as you say, lots of people have lots of RAM. The most typical constraint on many people's computers will be the amount of CPU processing they have.
Well, let's go to that.
Everyone's on a powerful computer.
Right. Well, so if I go to CPU, it's using 1.3% of the CPU, which is a bench. It's almost nothing. Why are you using so much RAM, but the CPU is not doing anything with your stupid program?
Yeah.
Google Chrome, 1.1% of CPU. Now, that will increase if I actually go into and start clicking stuff.
Now, the fact that it's holding RAM open doesn't necessarily mean that that's actually in RAM at the time. That could
no,
be
but it's holding
out, but
it.
Yeah, but it's yeah. The only reason that I would particularly agree that Dropbox is a resource hog is because I've heard from other people who use it saying, you know, they had real problems with their computers and they got rid of Dropbox and those problems went away. So, you know, the difficulty is if anybody could say, oh, you know, it's not really holding that RAM or it's in swap or this, that, and the other. The point is if a program that allegedly should be that simple needs that much memory, probably means it's very badly written.
Exactly.
You don't really want badly written programs running on your computer.
Well, so we get very bad. The only thing Dropbox does exceptionally well is syncing the folders. That's all it does. And if it was just that, and I was a big proponent of Dropbox when it first came out. I mean, I even suggested on mymac.com that Apple should buy it. That should be their cloud storage.
Yeah, but that was the thing. I remember the story was that they spoke to Apple about that, and Steve Jobs said, the amount of money you want for the company, you realize you're not a service, you're a feature.
Mm-hmm.
And he was quite dismissive of it. And obviously, they then went and did their own thing with iCloud that isn't as good as Dropbox. But nevertheless, he felt they were overvalued. And so now they've gone this different route where they're trying to turn themselves into something, you know. I've got to be honest. I can't imagine a lot of people use it that much anymore.
No, that's why they changed.
Yeah, most of the big services that come with all the real value add site, like the ones we've been talking about, Microsoft, Google Workspace, you know, all of those things, they all have their own file sync services built in.
Yeah.
So, you know, what is Dropbox for? And nobody's going to go, very few people, I'd imagine, would go, I don't want Microsoft 365. I don't want Google Workspace. I want to build my operations all on the Dropbox platform. I can't see many people saying that.
No, really. It's not happening.
You know.
No.
So,
any numbers that would make any difference to the company's bottom line.
No.
And Dropbox could be run by 10 people.
yeah
for what it should be.
Yeah, and the problem then is that, you know, they probably could, if they stripped it right back to the best file sync service and made it absolutely rock-solid reliable like it used to be, there will probably would be a market for it. But I don't think there's much of a market for, you know, a kind of a poor man's Microsoft 365 or a poor man's Google Workspace, which is what they've tried to turn
into. If they would pivot and make it all about open your photos, save it to Dropbox, we will keep your photos forever on your mobile devices.
Yep.
If they built that system, because I can't tell you how many people lose photos. They're just gone.
Yeah.
And Google's thing is pretty bad on Android. I watch people trying to find photos, and it's just terrible.
I struggled, even with all the AI stuff and everything, still struggle to find stuff in Apple Photos.
Oh, I do,
because
too.
Because there's just so much there, and you'd kind of, you know, the photo is there, but you can't really find it.
Right.
Unless you do a search that works, and the trouble is, most of the time we do a search and it doesn't work, then you're kind of SOL. You can't find anything.
And that's the issue. You can't find anything. The whole point is, I want to find something.
Yeah.
Let me see this. And I can't do it. Listeners of Tech Fan last week got a bonus episode, and that was our Geeks Pub. And that was because I was talking about MyMac.com. And we have kind of moved forward a little bit with some changes. Basically, we're starting to post, other than podcasts, new content on MyMac.com. Now, there's going to be a complete site redesign eventually, but right now I'm just ramping everything back up. And I actually asked anybody out there, if they want to write, let me know. And one of our longtime listeners, and has been on the show before, I believe, Antonio Gomez, his son, he's 14 years old, which I find really fantastic, by the way, writes small movie reviews online.
Cool.
And he's interested in doing so at MyMac. And I said, absolutely. Excellent. So yeah. He sent his first one, and I sent it back as kind of structure it this way. Let me hear your voice. Yeah. He's 14, and he's already writing. I can't tell you how impressed I am with that.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I mean, most 14-year-olds are making little TikTok videos and stuff, right? Yep. He's writing. And the skill and the art of writing is way more impressive than making a quick video online. It just is. Or a social media post. And his passion, I can read his passion in his review. He just needs to work on the structure and bring his voice out a little bit. And I think he's going to be great doing some movie reviews on the site. I look forward to seeing some more of it.
That's really, really impressive. Absolutely.
So, like I said, we are changing MyMac kind of to what it used to be back in the day, where it was not just written content, because we had podcasting back in the day as well, but more diverse. And as such, we do have a few things since our last Geeks Pub. We got a couple podcasts, Essential Apple Podcast 303 and the MyMac Podcast. I also posted a article called A Cheap Monitor for Pac-Man. So, as I've talked about on the show here, I got rid of my Neo Geo cabinet, so I'm down to one arcade machine. And I was getting these weird lines on the monitor. And I thought, oh boy, the monitor's going bad. And I could see it even before the arcade booted up. So if I turned it off, turn it right back on, I could see the lines. So I'm like, okay, monitor's going bad. So it's just a cheap, 19-inch monitor in there. It's an LCD. Mm-hmm. So I went on eBay, and man, I tell you, the number of cheap, brand new, old stock that you can get is amazing for an LCD that, you know, does 720.
Yeah. I think computer monitors have benefited from the boom in consumer LCD TVs. It's just driven the whole manufacturing of LCD panels down.
Well, people don't want an old 19-inch screen now because they want 27 inches and 32 curves.
But also it just means that the whole market has become incredibly cheap. And as you're absolutely right, as the monitor sizes get bigger, that means all the old ones kind of just filter down through the market, and they're available for buttons, as we say over here.
Looks like I might have lost my internet. At least.
Well, I can still hear you.
Well, so, I know that, but... Yeah, my internet's down. Well, my phone still thinks I'm on Wi-Fi, but I'm totally... It's got to be defaulting to non-Wi-Fi. Yeah.
Right.
So what I ended up doing was getting a... what is it? A Dell? Yeah, a Dell 19-inch monitor. Mm-hmm. Brand new, still in the box. Was never used. Yep. $30, and that was shipped. Free shipping. Wow. $30.
Yeah.
So I got real excited. You know, I was thinking about putting a different board in the Pac-Man machine. I've got the 60-in-1 running in there, and it's been in there for many years. Mm-hmm. So I get the new monitor. And it's not difficult for me to swap out a monitor. I don't have to move the whole arcade to do that.
So let's just kind of conceptualize this, because obviously the monitor comes in its own case. They're not just like a bare panel. So how do you have to kind of use brackets to hold that into the back of the...
Well, originally, yes.
The back of the arcade,
The old arcade monitor was a CRT, very heavy. I pulled that many years ago because I had really bad screen burn-in.
Right.
So what I have in there is an LCD that's just sitting in there. Because it's at a slight angle, it's not going to move around much. I got a little thing at the bottom of it so it doesn't slide. And then the bevel lays on top of that. I slide the glass in and I'm done. So the front arcade, if you're thinking about an arcade, where the joystick and the button is, actually unhooks from underneath the machine. You open up the coin door and you can unsnap it. It folds down and then you can move the glass and the bezel and you have quick access. So I put the new monitor in thinking, you know, this is going to be awesome. And it's exactly the same problem.
So it's a problem on the board.
Well, that's one option.
Or a cable, maybe.
Or a cable. Yeah. So now it's time to, because any of that stuff, I have to pull the whole monitor out, which I did. Yep. And by the way, I've got a shoulder issue, and I've had it for months now. I'm going to the doctor this Thursday to find out what's going on. So moving this whole giant, very heavy, because this is not a knockoff cheap thing. This thing is very heavy.
Yeah.
Pull it out. The first thing I do is swap the VGA cable. Well, mm-hmm. Let me back up. I also have what's called a scan line generator. And that generates scan lines on a monitor, so it looks more like a CRT. Rather than an LCD screen.
Yeah, because you don't want to see...
I don't want it to be too smooth. 80s,
well, yeah, you don't want to see 80s graphics on a high-res LCD because it will look like ass, because those graphics were designed to be shown on CRTs, which were kind of fuzzy and blurry and, weren't pixel precise. And so it's kind of like... It must be like... zooming in on the Mona Lisa's brush strokes. It doesn't look as good that close because it was never intended to be viewed like that.
Absolutely.
The same with those old graphics.
So the first thing I did was remove that.
Yeah.
And I went directly from the board to the monitor. Looks the same.
Yeah.
Okay, that's weird. Well, it's got to be the board. So I have another board, and it's got way more games on it, but it's almost got too many games on it, if that makes sense. It's got, 600 games, something like that. And I don't play 90% of those games, so that's why I always stuck with a 60-in-1 board, because it has the 20 games that I play most. But there are a couple that's not on there that I'm like, I wish I could play that. But whatever. So I swapped the new board in. Same problem.
No, this is weird.
So at that point, you're like, okay, wait a minute. It's not the board. It's not the cable, because I swapped that too.
Yeah. It's not scan line generator because you remove that.
I remove that.
So what the hell is it?
Well, there's only one thing left. To power the monitor, to power the board and the monitor, I have a power supply in there. It's an arcade power supply.
Right.
And I had cut the monitor power cable to splice directly into the power output. So my last step was to, okay, I'm going to bypass that. It's powering the board, so it should be fine, but maybe it's not pushing enough power. I don't know. So I plugged the monitor directly into an outlet.
Maybe there's interference on it.
Yeah. And, well, it's been like that for a decade.
Yeah. Yeah, but they degrade, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Maybe capacitor's blown or something like that.
Yep. Well, I plugged directly into an outlet, and it worked fine.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's a power supply.
It's a power supply.
Interference and power supply.
And there's an actual outlet inside the arcade on the bottom. So I just plugged into that. So I can still just kill power to the whole thing, and the whole thing turns out the board, the monitor, the light, everything. So that's the issue. And I got to replace it eventually, but it's not high on my priority list because it's working.
Yeah.
So I spent $30 that I didn't need to. And I'm not using the new monitor. It's a slightly wider one, and it doesn't fit quite as well as my older one. And the older one's actually a much better monitor. So I went back to the old monitor. It's working fine. It looks like ass without the scan line generator, but I don't want to have to pull the whole thing out again until I replace the power supply. So I'll just make do.
So that $30 monitor, is that going to Cole or something? Can you use it with a laptop?
No, he can't use it for anything. He said, oh, well, at least you got a new monitor, a spare monitor, Dad. And I'm like, yeah, I don't need a spare monitor. I've got like a 27-inch curved monitor sitting in storage right now. I don't need a 19-inch monitor for anything, period.
Okay.
Yep. And so I did kind of waste the money.
Well,
I mean, I can make a digital photo frame out of it or something, run off the Mac Mini and hang it on a wall.
Or you could donate it to your local school.
Yeah, because they want an old 19-inch monitor.
Well, I'm sure, you know what, I'm sure you could donate it to somebody who would quite happily take it.
Yeah, true. So, you know? That was one of the things that we posted at mymac.com. John Nemo, I told you that I sent an email to the staff.
Yeah.
And I was surprised about how many people were still out there. Mm-hmm. And we've got some stuff on the website now. You can listen to mymac.com. They're going to go through weekly on what's new on the website. But John Nemo and Owen Rubin started talking. Hey, my internet just came back and just blinded me. Something's going on with Comcast. I don't know if it's Comcast or it's my modem itself. I think it's the modem. I think I need to take it back to Comcast and get a new one. He did a video, he being John Nemo, with Owen. And it's a fun video to watch. Owen talks about his time at Apple developing the Vision Pro, what he did there. It's about a half hour, and it is on the site.
I think what we should do with things like this is we should transcribe them as well. You can do that automatically now, because one of the things that frustrates me about this is I look at it and I go, oh, that's interesting, but I don't want to sit down for half an hour and watch a video.
But you can listen to it.
Yeah, but I don't want to do that either. I'd rather read the transcript, because then I can read it, and that takes me less time, and I get the same content. And then if there's something that's being shown in the video or something like that, then I can watch it on the video. But it's just like sitting down and listening to it or watching it, I think
you're in the minority. I think you're in the minority there. I think more people would rather listen. Just play the video in the background while they're doing other things and listening to it, or watch the video itself. And I really enjoyed watching the video. I thought it was really entertaining. And they cut it out, but they talked about maybe doing some more of this. And I was like, yes, please. Yeah. I'd like to see more of that. I would love it if Owen and Nemo started doing something like this on a semi-regular basis. I think that'd be awesome. Because we've talked about getting Owen on the show, but the time difference is just a killer.
Yeah, is John still in Arizona?
Yes. So
they're in virtually the same time zone.
Yeah,
so
no biggie there.
An hour away.
Well, I've told Owen that the next time that you've got a family medical issue, or you're on vacation, or there's a reason that you can't do the show, I'll push it back to later in the day and do one with Owen.
Yeah, because I'm the problem, because I'm 5 hours behind you, which means I'm...
Five hours ahead. Is it
5 hours ahead of you?
Yes.
Yeah, which means that I'm 8 hours ahead of Owen, which is most of the day.
Yeah.
And that makes it very hard.
It's virtually impossible to set something like that up on a regular basis.
Yep.
But I'm very happy to see more content at mymac.com. This is an open invitation for anybody who wants to write. Let me know. We're looking for more content. Or if you want to do some video stuff, we'll post that as well. Yeah. It's publisher@mymac.com. That's the best way to get a hold of me.
Yeah.
I am still in the doldrums of updating our old content. You have no idea how much old content we have, David. The problem is a lot of it is missing pictures. And so I have to relink the picture in each article. I have to clean up the text because some of it's just garbled. So I have to clean that up. And some, like, I can't get a hold of these people anymore. So what graphic do I use as their kind of their standard graphic if they're writing articles? I don't want to create something new for each one.
Well, why didn't you create a generic graphic? Start with that, and then it.
Well, I did. I did for some people. I did.
No. I'm talking about a generic graphic you use for anything where you don't have a graphic.
Well, it doesn't matter because I can't make it automatically set to that graphic. So I still have to go into the features and set the graphic.
I'm sure there are tools that can do that sort of thing for you because
I haven't found any. Well, a lot of it has to do with
Management 101, isn't it?
Well, but the problem is the theme that I'm using is going to be different from another theme. So you can't really make an automated process for a particular theme. It doesn't really work that way. And that's kind of the downfall of WordPress. You can really customize it, but then once you do that, some of the tools will break. And that's why some of our content disappeared for so long. And that's because the date on the blog side didn't translate over. It went to -0001, so it all disappeared. We're talking about thousands of posts. And those are the ones that I thought was going to take me the longest to fix, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
I fixed that fairly quickly. What's taken me the longest is the graphics and fixing the text. Right now, I'm in 2005. And I use generic dates, so a whole bunch of 2005 content is in November. it wasn't. Like, for instance, Beth Locke did a 20-part series on the Tour de France that year.
Yeah.
And each one of them had garbled text. So, you know.
And it didn't happen in November in 2005.
It did not.
People are going to think November 2005 was a really great month.
Yeah, they're like, man, you Everything guys are just cranking it out. It's November 30th, 2005. That's the default date for all the content that was on the blog site. Unless it was a Macworld Expo coverage. So I fixed those to show that in January of November.
Well, yeah, because you know when that was.
Yeah, but the rest of it, I'm not going to look up dates. But it's worthwhile.
Yep.
You know, we have so many writers that have passed away, and their only thing online was at mymac.com.
Yep.
And so it is up to me to make sure that that is still searchable. You know, if their families are out there, their grandson of Roger Bourne heard that his granddad was a writer and he wants to look it up, he could find everything Roger wrote, which is over 100 things.
Not only that, but I mean, from your perspective, this is something you started, right? And you've been doing it for a very long time.
30 years.
And so it would be kind of sad if your attitude to the stuff that happened 20 years ago was, oh well, it's lost now, and I'm not going to spend any time looking after it because
I did for the last 6 or 7 years.
You've only just kind of come to it as a project because you know the difficulty. Well, we've all got things in our lives where we know there's something we need to do, but it's such a big project you can't even face starting it. But the thing is, you know, I think it's something to you to reflect the effort you've put into MyMac over such a long time that you want to keep that whole thing as a working record of your activity because that makes sense because otherwise what was the point of it all if you just kind of, you know, all the social media stuff is so ephemeral now, it just comes and goes and then that's it and it's never
seen
again.
But there's a lot of, you know, if you remember back, let's just go back to 2005, there was a lot of Mac sites out there that simply either were bought up and changed or completely closed down. And all of that content is gone. And I believe I talked about John Martellaro on the last episode.
Yeah.
Did I?
I think you did, yeah.
So John Martellaro wrote for a couple different websites, the Mac Observer and a few others, Apple Links. And he wrote briefly for us as well at MyMac. And I talked to John on the phone, and he's not doing well.
Right.
And he probably doesn't have long, you know, according to him. And so I made him the offer that if he still has all his old articles and stuff, he can send that to me, and I will post them at mymac.com. And if it's dated, I'll put it at the correct date. And he's going to do that. Cool. There's another very prominent Mac writer. I'm not going to get into him, who he is yet, because I'll make a big announcement on the site eventually about it, as well as for John Martellaro. But there's another writer that no one had heard from in years. And I found an old email address, and I emailed him, and sure enough, he still uses it. And we've been chatting back and forth. He knows about John Martellaro. They were good friends. And I made him the same offer, and he's going to send me his old content. We're going to archive that up at mymac.com, too. Because I think that stuff is important. I really do.
Yeah.
And, you know, the websites that posted all of this originally, they're long gone.
Yeah.
Some of them I went, if I saw a that used to be a prominent Mac website was gone, I went to see if the name was still available, because if it is, I was just going to buy it, grab it, and point it at mymac.com, because if I start getting some of these older writers that used to write there, their content is here now. But unfortunately, so far, every single one of them is just parked, and it's, hey, this domain may be for sale. Yeah, I'm sure it is, but at a stupid price.
Yeah.
But I'm both proud of 30 years worth of content online for an independent, we never made any money.
Yeah.
That it's still there. It's still going. Yeah.
My life's achievement. All this stuff, never made any money.
Didn't make a dime.
But you know what? Sometimes art is about more than money. So, and it is art. Let's not forget, writing is also art.
This
what we're doing now is a form of art. It's creativity, and we should not be so quick to throw out or allow to disappear a whole load of art. Really,
I agree. Let's talk about some of the things that we've got here before we get to our feedback. What is the? You know, I've been reading about this poor guy. Guy threw away on accident a hard drive.
Well, he didn't. This is the thing. He didn't throw it away. He, I have a small similar story to this guy. In that, you know, way back in the day, probably about 10, 15 years ago, whenever it was, I forget exactly. Yeah, I found in London a Bitcoin ATM, and I went and I bought myself £30 worth of Bitcoin. This is at the very early days of Bitcoin. It's back in the day when you could actually run a mining computer yourself, and every now and again you would just get 5 Bitcoins. Right? Which nowadays, if you got 5 Bitcoins, you'd be like a millionaire. But back then you could just, you know, you could literally run a computer rather than a server farm and do it. So anyway, I bought myself £30 of Bitcoin, and I stuck it in a wallet application, and then computers moved. I forget exactly what happened, but I lost it. I happened to look the other day how much £30 of Bitcoin from roughly at that time would be worth now.
Why would do that to yourself?
It was a very depressingly large number. And the fact that I effectively let it disappear kind of annoys me, because that would be, you know, it's a pretty substantial payday. You know, we're not talking about, you know, I wouldn't be able to retire or anything, but I, you know, I could buy myself something very, very, very nice and still take my family on a holiday with that money. So this guy... was a, you know, an early crypto bro, and he was a bit of a Bitcoin or a crypto trader, and he had a Bitcoin wallet on a hard drive, and his girlfriend, wife, I forget, his partner, significant other at the time, was trying to clean up his office, and he'd taken the drive with the Bitcoin wallet on it out of his computer, and he'd left it lying around, and basically this drive got threw into the trash, into disposal. And was sent out with the local rubbish. And what he didn't realize until a couple of weeks later. And he said, but that's got all the Bitcoin on it. That'll be worth some money. Now, I don't know exactly how this worked at the time. I don't know how much it was worth at the time. But anyway, what transpired, the problem is, since then, the value of this Bitcoin has only started spiraling upwards and upwards. So I don't know whether he started chasing this straight away, or whether, and it's now gotten worse and worse because the value just gone up. But anyway, this is worth millions of pounds now.
8,000 bitcoins.
8,000 bitcoins. So even
worth about 620 pounds right now.
Even
620
even when,
million.
Yeah. Even when that was thrown away, it was probably worth a substantial amount of money. Now, sure. The problem was he went to the rubbish would have gone to the local landfill. And he spoke to the council who managed the rubbish collection service and the landfill at the time and then ever since. And he said, I want to go and recover my property. And the council said, as you might quite imagine, you know, you haven't seen a landfill. It's got bulldozers. It's got diggers.
It's a terrible place.
It stinks. It's giving off methane. There's birds all over it, rats and everything. They said, we are not letting a member of public going rifle around our landfill. Thank you very much. That is not safe. We are not insured for that. Tough. By the way, did you know that once the rubbish is collected, it becomes our property? So you have no right to this. And he has been fighting this ever since. And I've got to give him, I mean, obviously, £620 million. You know, he's financially incentivized to be persistent. But the latest thing is that, because he sued them for the ability to get to the landfill. He tried to get the police to search it. He's tried every single thing he could think of, and he lost the lawsuit. It went all the way to the British Supreme Court, and he lost the lawsuit. They said, look, you know, you are it is the council's property, and they have no right. You have no right to go looking for it. Oh, and but, you know, the problem as well is he reckons he knows where it is.
Yeah, of course
I don't
he
know
knows.
How. He knows where a hard drive is on a massive landfill that's probably been buried. Well, we're talking about 10 years ago, so been buried under whatever.
Well, actually, that's actually probably accurate that he probably does know where it is. And that's because landfills or garage or garbage dumps here is what we call them because we're, you know, sounds much better, garbage dump. They do have where they put stuff. That is all recorded, and I know it is okay. In the UK as all well. Right. That's how they found the ET games when they were buried, and that was buried, you know, 40 years beforehand. And
yeah,
they still found
them. I thought those had been buried in a hole rather than in a regular.
No, it was a landfill.
Dump.
No, okay, it was a landfill.
Right, fair enough. Anyway,
there's a whole thing on online that you can watch about it.
Because of the amount of money involved, he's now got investors who are prepared to work with him and put up the money to do the excavation required. So the latest thing is having lost the lawsuit and being told he couldn't go looking on the landfill. And then he had no right to do that. He then found out that the council's talking about closing this landfill.
Yep.
And he's going, he's kind of had a what the hell moment. He's saying, what, they won't let me go look, and now they're going to close it anyway. So now he wants to buy the landfill from the council so that he can then, it's then his property and he can go excavating away. As I say, you know, the full marks for persistence, and obviously we are talking about a lot of money, but at the moment this
is
not.
Well, potentially, it's on a hard drive that's been buried in the ground in rubbish for a decade.
But you only need to get a certain amount of bits off that drive to actually recover the Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all about Bitcoin IDs and stuff like that. The thing is, data recovery can do wonderful things, provided the drive has not been crushed.
Right.
And the platters are still there. Yeah.
Or then, liquid got into it and completely, I mean.
Well, even if liquids got into it, I mean, if the magnetic data is still on a disk that has not been physically broken, then you can use all sorts of recovery techniques to probably get it back. And, you know, it's a $620 million gamble. That's quite a good, you know, the rate of return if you do it is huge. So that
I would sneak in every night until they caught me.
Well, you know, you do have to wonder if that's one way. I can't help feeling that drawing so much attention to this has made the council kind of dig in and go, you know, just no way, no way. And actually, if the more stealthy approach might have been, you know, you just pay a guy on the landfill to say, you know, let me borrow the excavator. You know, I'll give you £5,000 a night. Let me borrow the excavator and, you know, go and find it. But yeah, it at the moment it's starting to, and it's now starting to sound like, you know, those people on those treasure hunters on Oak yes. Island who are yes. digging that pit, the money pit. It's kind of like that. It's taken. It's, you know, this is going to be made into a movie one day.
Oh, of course.
One way or the other.
Yes.
You know. But so, I just thought it was funny because we actually only mentioned this guy a couple of weeks ago, and then
yeah.
then I saw this story saying that
he's not giving up.
He now thinks he can buy the landfill and then do what he wants.
We talked about, when it first came out, the humane pill, or pin.
Pin, yeah.
AI pin. And it's garbage. It never worked right.
Yeah.
There was no real good proprietary tech built into it.
No.
And they were shutting down.
Yeah, it was built by... And they were told before they launched it by all the people who were working within the company that it wasn't ready and it was going to be a disaster.
Yep, and it was.
But these were two ex-Apple people who think that the sun shines out of their own backsides, and they didn't listen to anybody, and sure enough, it turned out to be a disaster. Famously called by Marcus Brownlee, the YouTuber, tech YouTuber, as literally one of the worst products,
yeah.
The worst product I have ever reviewed
yeah.
so far.
And that's saying something. Well, they yeah. got bought by HP. HP bought them for $116 million. HP what? Seems to be the rubbish collector of the tech industry, yes?
Yeah, it's
they like, buy garbage all the time and yeah, do nothing with it.
It's where tech goes to die, yeah.
I don't understand HP.
What are they
going to
do with that? Because what assets are they? I mean, first of all, they're paying $116 million, but there's a whole load of debt there. Because yep. a lot of people put, it was about, didn't they raise about $1 billion or something like that?
Yeah.
So there's debt there.
Well, they're not you've buying got, the debt. You could buy the okay. assets without right. buying the debt.
Okay. So, but what are you buying?
That's my question. What are you
getting? The product is garbage. It doesn't work.
The proprietary tech is garbage. Otherwise, yeah. it would have worked.
Are you buying the staff? Well, I can't imagine that the staff are worth $116 million.
Some people are getting a 30% to 70% increase in pay to take a HP job plus stock options. Most of the people are just getting fired.
Right.
That's worth $160 million because you didn't have to buy the company to hire those people.
And of course, you know, HP's going to do right by the existing humane AI consumers, aren't they?
Oh, no.
They're not. They're basically, they've been told they've got 10 days until the thing turns into a brick.
Yeah, if you
Even
bought
more
it.
More of a brick than it was before.
Yeah, $700.
And this is something they paid $700, and they were paying like $25 a month for the service plan that you had to have with it as well.
The old ones to work, except they won't connect it to any AI anything. So you can, basically all you can do is check the battery level. That's all it will do.
You know, no open sourcing of the platform to allow anybody else to do anything with it. You know, now, I'm sure many of us read that and thought, well, you know, those people were stupid. They should have known what they were buying into, and sucks to be them. But, you know, rich guys who believe the hype. But you know what that is? If this was the only time that sort of thing had ever happened, you kind of could go, oh, well, you know, like bad decisions lead to bad outcomes, that sort of thing. For people should have known better. But this is kind of what everyone in the tech industry does now,
yep.
which is basically, yeah, if circumstances change, sucks to be you. Thanks for your support, but we don't care anymore.
Yep.
And it's kind of sad, really. And and HP, you just think, what the hell is wrong with HP?
I don't understand HP at all.
They have bought. And
garbage.
How does this fit into their product lines?
They must. So there's a sucker at HP that's in charge of buying shit. I swear to God.
Yeah,
they
do this but all he's got time. Control of $116 million.
Right.
You know, I mean, does nobody else inside HP look at this and go, what the hell? Because that's what everyone else is doing. So how come inside the company, if I was an HP shareholder, I'd be raising this in a shareholder meeting going, look, what are you doing this for?
Yeah.
What's the value question. Here? What are you doing with our money?
So let's move on to, we got an email from Donnie, who, by the way, has a new post at mymac.com talking about Apple's, well, I can't.
Donnie likes the...
No, he doesn't. If you read it, you'll see that he actually doesn't.
Right. Yeah. The headline says he does.
I know. It's clickbait.
Misleading Donnie's headlines on an internet website. How dare they? I've never heard of that before.
It's got It works, but it...
He's talking about the image generation, AI image generation in Apple Intelligence, which, and yeah,
it kind of works, like. But it really the problem is, and I actually posted, the problem isn't that it doesn't work very well. The problem is that its competitors are really good now.
Yeah, that's what I felt as well. I thought actually the images it generated were okay, but the problem is actually getting it to make the image you want is virtually impossible. And that's the problem with it. In that, you know, it is actually the output it produces is nice, but the problem is you can't make it produce the thing you want. Whereas if you go to any of these online image generators now, even the free ones you just Google for, you type in a prompt, and the first thing that comes back is normally 80 to 90% close to what you were hoping for. And then that you've got a basis to modify. That's the other thing that that I find the AI image generation in Apple doesn't do, is that you can't take an image it's generated and say, yeah, I like this bit and this bit, but take away that and change that. And it just doesn't do that. It just basically, every time you do that, it just regenerates it again. And you just get variations of the wrong theme that it's chosen. So I don't find it's very good. It doesn't, I don't, I used, played with it once, and then I ended up with a... I asked for it. I wanted myself with the face of a dog, right? So I wanted to take my face, or its view of my face, and kind of put that as, what would I look like if I were a dog? And what it did is it showed my head with my bald head, and then it showed the head of a dog growing out the top of my head, like some sort of alien appendage. And it thought that was really good. And at that point, I said, I'm done with this. So,
yeah. So, I just switched over to the monitor.
Anyway,
yeah.
so Donnie was riposting to me on my comments on the iPad last time we talked about. So I'm going to read this through. Just listening to the last episode, and I thought I'd put in my two cents on the iPad conversation. I have to disagree with David. I haven't owned a personal Mac for over a year now. I have been all in on the iPad and don't regret it. I came to the opposite realization as David. I was never using the Mac and always on the iPad. I use it for everything and don't miss the Mac. I do have a MacBook for work, which I can use if I have to, but I would be fine without it. Okay, I'm going to read the rest, skim through the rest of this, but then I'm going to come back on that, okay? Donnie goes on, I have a Logitech keyboard case, which I love. I rarely use the keyboard, but the times I do need to do a lot of typing, it's great. It makes some websites work fine that are broken on the iPad without it. I use Stage Manager with a second screen whenever I do a video call. I see a difference in the M-series iPads versus the older ones when using art apps and processing videos. I would not buy an iPad without the M-series processor.
I agree with that.
These sorts of apps freeze on the older iPads we use at school. Doesn't happen in the M-series. I also use it for gaming. I play a lot of games on the iPad. I don't see myself playing games on the Mac. I kind of agree with that. Nobody plays games on the Mac. The iPad is a much better gaming experience. And then, as you said about reading it, you know, reading content on it. As for Tim's argument about, I don't use it in the bathroom, but I do use it when laying in bed or on the sofa. I will not use a laptop that way. I don't even use it while pedaling a stationary bike. I'll even use it while pedaling a stationary bike. I don't think the iPad is going anywhere in the near future. Even if the Mac iPad combo came to be, it would be too pricey to replace the iPad completely. So let me just respond to that, because I was saying, you know, I've got an M-series iPad and I look at it and I think, what's the point of it? And I've had this argument with a couple of people on Mastodon as well. When I made this same point there, I am not disputing that, you know, if you can do stuff on the iPad that fits within the iPad's limitations, it's a brilliant device. And obviously, if those things you're doing require extra power, then an M-series iPad is even better at those things. I would not argue with that at all. That's one of the reasons I have an iPad. My criticism of the M-series iPad in particular is that when you need to do something that doesn't fit within those limitations, you basically can't do it on the iPad, despite the fact that it has exactly the same guts as a MacBook Air. Whereas on a MacBook Air, if you want to do something that you've never done before on the MacBook Air, there's very few limitations, and certainly no architectural limitations of the device itself, unless it's the things that are good on an iPad, such as art apps, where you want to use touchscreens and styluses and stuff like that. You can't do that on the Mac. But my point is that if you want to take an iPad and use it as your own computer, and everything you do fits within the capabilities of an iPad, brilliant. But things change. And if some, like saying for some time, you decide, right, I want to record podcasts now, and I want to record like you and I recording now, where I want to record the audio I'm speaking into a microphone at the same time as recording the audio that's coming over Skype or Teams or Wire or whatever it is. You can't do that on the iPad because it won't handle one more than one audio stream. If you want to do the video processing that that Donny's doing, and you want to then switch away to browse a website while it's processing in the background, you can't do that on an iPad because it won't let you. It'll immediately stop processing as soon as you move away from the app. None of those things happen on the Mac. And that's what I'm saying is, what's the point of putting MacBook guts into an iPad if you then keep those iPad guardrails on? And I would like to see M-series iPads that have some of those guardrails removed. Not all of them. There are advantages to the platform in terms of simplicity, understanding, and control that iPadOS gives you. But I'm just tired of having a pro iPad that costs as much or more as the equivalent MacBook, and it only being able to do the same things the base iPad can do, only faster. That, to me, is a missed opportunity, and I'd like to see Apple change it. And I think you and I agreed last time they won't.
No, not any time in our lifetime, anyways.
Yeah, but I'm not dissing on the iPad. I'm just saying it just seems pointless to have people buy, you know, $1,000 iPad Pro, yeah, with an M series, M3. I'm sure the M4 will be in there. Yeah, and basically it's like having a Ferrari with a handbrake on that you can't turn off, because you'll never be able to really exploit the capabilities of the laptop class guts on an iPad because the OS won't let you. Yep. And it's just pointless. It's really pointless. It's the worst kind of pro level upsell. There's like, oh, you get the one with the pro thing in, but it can't really do very much more than the base one because we won't let you. Apple's answer to that is buy a Mac as well.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, I can't blame them there. So with that, we're going to wrap up this episode of Tech Fan. We'd love to get feedback. It's theshow@techfanpodcast.com. You can comment on the shows on the show notes and at techfanpodcast.com or the flagship mymac.com. And you can find us on Twitter. I'm not saying X. Screw them. For how much longer we'll be on X, I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
I'm anti-Nazi, so it's starting to
honest with you.
Hoping he'll sell it to somebody.
We're now in this weird situation where, you know, even companies like Apple are kind of allowing the regimes to do their thing, and you just kind of they're all at it basically.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how demonstrative coming off some of those platforms really is in the grand scheme of things, because everybody's as bad as everybody else. But
he's literally Twitter a Nazi. He's doing Nazi salutes now.
Yeah, Twitter is a special place for special people.
And yeah, I'm real close to dropping it. I really am. Not that Elon's going to give a shit what I do, but...
No, well, no, he's not, but he doesn't give a damn about anything, does he? So
no, just his own money. You know, with as much money as he has, how many world problems he could actually solve, and he's not doing any of it. He's only doing stuff to make more money. How much do you need, you piece of shit?
I heard Jesse Eisenberg talking about this a couple of weeks ago, and he said exactly the same thing. He said, what I don't understand for these, you know, these billionaires, he says... You could do so much with that money.
Do so much.
So why do nothing, and then, as well as doing nothing, then start being mean to people?
No, it's not that they're not doing nothing. They're just trying to acquire more and more and more. Yeah. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
He keeps talking about, we're going to go to Mars. Who gives a shit about going to Mars? We have people losing their jobs, can't afford health care. I mean, come on. The amount of you could... How about this, Elon? Take... half of your money, half. And I understand it's not actual money, it's net worth, and it's all phony baloney stuff.
It's Tesla stock, which is not doing so well at the moment. So, no. Yeah.
But he could take half of his net worth and build new roads across the entire planet. New roads. Do you know what new roads would do for the infrastructure of this planet? Just do that.
But I think the problem is, if you built new roads, there is a risk that poor people who don't pay their way might use them.
Yeah.
And he can't have that.
Can't have that.
You know, so.
All right, man. I will see you next week on Geeks Pub.
See you then. Listen close to the tech they spin. Arguments, they both win. Why is fast data within? Heartbeat sync, a tech twin. Listen close to the tech they spin.